All right, let's get to talking about what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to, normally what we do is we do the monthly assessment and planning call. This is going to be similar, but different. So what I encourage you is if you're doing your general monthly assessment and you want to plan your next month, that you go to the video replays section of the website. And you're going to notice we have a new pull-down menu. And on that menu, there is a place. It is called, let's see, I have it in my notes somewhere. Basically, it's like assessments or something. I forget. It's in my notes somewhere in this long document. But if you will go there, then what you can do is you can find plenty of calls where we have already done some assessing in the monthly format that you find in our traditional worksheet. Today, what I want to do is I actually want to do the holiday goal worksheet. So if you do not have that with you, it is not a problem. You can get it in the Handling the Holidays course. It's the holiday goal worksheet. So if you have your whole thing printed or maybe you're doing it on the computer, that's fine. Betsy is actually in the comments. She's going to be putting the questions in there when I get to them. So if you just have a piece of paper and you're just listening and you're like, well, I'll just fill it out along as Corinne goes, that's fine too. We can do it that way. So don't freak out if you don't have it printed ahead of time. Also, if you go to the replay page, it's called Assessing Your Data and Progress. So if you go to that page, we now have new drop-down menus that are sorted by lots of different topics that you guys most commonly search for. So we did some research on what is it that y'all typically are typing into search bars, asking about, and then we went through and we grouped a lot of the biggest, most important calls according to that, and we added it to that drop-down menu. So if you haven't been to the video replay section in a while, I highly recommend you going over there and thinking about, and this is like a good question for all of you. Like if you were to ask yourself, this month, thinking back on my last 30 days, if there was one habit or behavior, and get real specific, one habit or behavior that if I put all of my energy and focus on for the next 30 days, it would move the needle in my weight loss. So sometimes, like a lot of times y'all will say like, not overeating, but specifically when? Is it not overeating at dinner? Is it not overeating after dinner? Is it not overeating first thing in the morning? Is it not overeating when you get home from work? Like if you get very specific, so if you take like a general problem that you've been having and then you think, okay, specifically about that. Like some of you will say, talking shit about myself. Specifically what? Like, is it talking shit about myself in the mirror, about my body? Is it about my mistakes? Is it about like whatever it is? If you can hone in on a specific and get really small and really micro with it, you can go to the video replays page. You can find the big category and then the calls all have descriptions. And then you could spend this month figuring out, how am I going to specifically work on this one aspect? Because one of the things that I watch most of you do when it comes to trying to change your weight is you're trying to work on all the things because you think all the things have to get fixed. Very often, most of us only have a very few things that we need to tweak and solve. And then all of a sudden, the weight starts falling like dominoes. And then when you solve one thing that right now you may be thinking is so hard, I've always done this, I've never been successful, blah, 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 blah. What ends up happening is when you prove to yourself that you can solve something that for a long time you've doubted, the next time you go to something to solve, you've already, like you're bringing in the momentum of, if I could do it there, I bet I could do it here too. So you just end up accomplishing and getting over some of the humps that you need that you can apply to a lot of different things. You don't always have to be working on 40,000 different things in order to lose your weight. So if you think about like my story, I did not go to work on the food first. I went to work on being really good at showing up for something even when I didn't want to. For me, it was those 15-minute walks. The walks didn't cause my weight loss. what happened was, is that when I proved to myself that I could go to the gym, I could go at night, that I could go every day despite my excuses, I could go when I didn't feel like it, I could override my shame and embarrassment about being the biggest girl in the gym with the shittiest clothes, worrying about what people thought, if I could go to the gym and figure out how to use the treadmill when I didn't know how to use dick in the rest of the gym, when I committed to that, I proved to myself, like, oh, so if I make a decision and I apply my focus and energy there, I can do that. I wonder what else, what other decisions I could make and apply some energy and focus there. And that's what I need some of you to start doing and to start thinking about. All right, I'm gonna put my glasses back on because this bitch can't read without them. So what we want to do today is we want to make sure that we fill out the holiday goal worksheet. This is going to take you through the remainder of the year. This whole workbook was designed so that you no longer have to quit during the holidays. You do not have to put your dreams on hold during the holidays. You do not have to gain weight during the holidays. You don't have to do anything during the holidays other than learn how to make a plan and decide how you want to show up for yourself and then do that. That is the point of the whole workbook. So I highly recommend y'all doing this work. I'm doing the work right along with you. It's one of the most popular programs we ever do. So it'll take you all the way to our January 2nd workshop. If you haven't heard about it, we're going to have a full day workshop. I believe it's going to be from 10 a.m. Central Time until it's either 5 or 5:30 p.m. Central Time on January the 2nd. That is a Sunday. If you cannot attend live, it's okay. You can always watch the replay. It will go into the membership. We will put it into all the things. But I highly recommend, if you do not have plans on January 2nd, that you plan to be there. This workshop is going to be like camp light, and it is included in your membership. So we are going to break it up into a bunch of different sections. And all day long, you and I are going to be working on building the you of 2022. We're going to call it the Goal Getter's Guide to Getting It Done. So I'm going to help you get through the holidays. Then on January 2nd, we're going to do the next 90-day plan. And on January 2nd, we're doing a full-day workshop on what we traditionally use at camp, which is the 90-day plan that is specific to all of our camps. We're going to work on that all day long together so that you're starting January 2nd, 2022, with a guide on how to get your weight loss done for the so the 90-day workshop, like what we're doing today is we're finishing out the holidays. And then on January 2nd, it's going to be where I'm going to take the camp 90-day plan. And then I'm going to teach y'all how to make that one in that workshop that's included in your membership. So you're going to want to plan to be there. Is it still no sound? I'm still getting no sound things. Can somebody just let me know that you hear me? Okay, good. So you're going to want to plan to be there. We will have replays in the event that you are, you know, you cannot attend on January 2nd. But just to repeat, it'll be 10 a.m. to about 5 or 5:30 p.m. Central Time on January 2nd. Did y'all even hear the name? Let me read the name off just in case. I don't know where we got to, but it's called Building the You of 2022, the Goal Getter's Guide to Getting It Done. So here's what will happen. Today, we're going to get through the end of the year, January 2nd. I'm going to take you through the next 90 days. And then if you're coming to camp, you're going to get all your relationships overhauled over the course of 3 days. That is going to be how we want to help you lose the most amount of weight and change your life for the near future. So today, let's work on our holiday plan. Here's how I want to do it. I'm going to go over the holiday goal worksheet with you, how I wrote it for myself today. Then I'm going to allow you guys to ask questions and raise your hand on anything that's confusing or anything that you need help with. So don't raise your hand until we get through the worksheet so that you're really clear on what you're stuck on or what you need. Y'all, if you go to, Betsy, if you'll just tell them when camp is, but and give them the link to where the information page is, that'd be great. Okay. The very first question. I will what by January 1st? In this part, what you want to do is you want to answer it according to, like, do you want to maintain your weight? Do you want to lose weight? or you want to gain weight this holiday season. All three options are available. Let me explain each one. So for me, I want to maintain my weight. I'm out of weight loss mode. I don't want to gain any weight. Like I'm in the zone that I like to live in after the summer. So for the holiday season, that's where I would like to be. Some of you want to continue losing weight through the holidays. And that's great, because the way that I teach you how to lose weight doesn't require restriction, doesn't require you not eating the things you love, doesn't require you to overhaul your life. It doesn't require anything. Now, you may have to say no to some bullshit that you in the past might have ate, but you ate it because you gave up on weight loss during the holidays. So you need to be thinking about your whole like idea of like, so why do I want to gain? Why do I want to lose? Why do I want to maintain? Some people opt to gain weight during the holidays. They're like, you know what? I'm still going to plan. I'm still going to do the things, but during this holiday season, like I haven't got to eat my mama's pie in 2 years. I haven't got to do these things. I know for me, and like, if you're going to be traveling, maybe you're not going to be able to exercise as much as you normally do. Like if you look at how you want to celebrate the holidays, you're like, there are going to be times I will want to eat past full intentionally on purpose and have my own back through it. There will be times I may want to eat certain things in more frequency, because I do truly enjoy them. And I'm going to do it with my eyes wide open, without beating myself up and planning it, having confidence that on January 2nd, I go back to waiting for hunger, eating to enough, like lots of things won't get planned as much, be a lot, you know, like all of those things. There's no wrong answer, all of you. The main thing is I want you to just think about, like really think about your next couple of months, how you want to live them, and look at your reasons behind why you choose what you do. Because sometimes what we do is we may choose to gain weight because we think we can't say no. Terrible reason to choose gain weight. I would much rather you choose to lose weight and work on believing there are things I can say no to and it won't be the end of the world. My mind might just act like a jackass, but that doesn't mean I can't say no. Like sometimes what we do is we end up gaining weight through the holidays because we just give up on ourselves. So I want you to really think about, if you're going to choose to gain, is it coming from a truly loving place, or is it laced with a little bit of fear and uncertainty and you'd rather just not deal with that? I'd rather you deal with that and keep on trying to lose weight. And just prove to yourself, it's not as bad as I think. Like, I would rather you try to lose weight during the holidays than to give up because you always have. I mean, if you're going to be afraid you can't lose weight and you're going to be afraid of overeating in the holidays, you might as well try to lose weight. Because if you're going to be scared both ways, I'd much rather you be scared going after something you want. But you just got to like your reasons. That's it. So you have to, like, here's someone who said something good. Kristen said, I have given up because I cannot be perfect. Yeah, I would much rather all of you go all the way to January 1st with the mindset of, I believe I can lose weight. All it's going to take is small changes each day. All it's going to take is being aware of what I'm telling myself. I'd rather you be that version of you all the way to January 1st, then to be the version of, and learning how, when you're not perfect, like, I also believe that between now and January 1st, I'm going to unlearn beat downs when I'm not perfect. I'm going to learn how to learn. I'm going to learn how to speak to myself. I'm going to learn how to dissect and assess. Because what we typically do when we have perfectionism is we sit there, we're like, well, in order to not beat myself up, I just won't have a goal. I'll just take a break. Well, you don't learn how to talk to yourself. You learn how to ignore the one thing that could change everything, which is reversing the inner critic. The only way we ever reverse the inner critic is not by being perfect. We have to let the inner critic say their shit loud and clear and offer a whole nother perspective. And tell ourselves, I don't talk like that to myself, and refute that voice each time it comes up. That's how inner critics get defeated. They don't get defeated because one day you wake up and suddenly everything goes perfectly and you never have to worry about that again. All right. So decide, are you gaining, maintaining, losing? And what is that exactly going to mean? Does it mean like put a number to it? So what I would do if I was you, if you don't know what you weigh as of yesterday, you know, we always weigh in on Friday. So today's Saturday. If you don't know your weight, I would get on the scale. Just be honest and decide. I don't beat myself up no matter what I weigh. If I'm going to decide to lose weight or if I'm going to decide to do whatever, I need my data. And if stepping on that scale triggers me to beat myself up, then before I step on the scale, I need to make some agreements with myself. And then when all those voices come rushing in, I need to go and sit and breathe and remind myself how I actually want to think about me. That's how you change the relationship with your scale. That's how you change your relationship with your inner critic. And we get to do that even through the holidays. Next question. In order to achieve that result, I commit to doing and not doing the following. So I made the way that I did mine was I made a list of commit and not doing. So I just put on one side of the block, here's what I'm committed to doing. On the other side of the block, I put on, here's what I'm committed to not doing. And I wrote a couple of bullet points for each one. So for me during the holidays, here's what I'm committed to doing to maintain my weight. Paying attention to why I'm eating. Like when I have food in my mouth and I'm eating my food, I want to know why. What is my thoughts around this? I just want to hear it. I don't need to stop, drop, and grab a pen and piece of paper, but I can for fuck sure turn my listening ears on and listen and be aware. Awareness pays off. That's what I put down. Paying attention to why I'm eating and listening and being aware, because awareness always pays off. The more aware I am, the more I know what's working, and the more I know what's not working. The more aware I am, the more choices I give myself. The more aware I am, the more I get to hear my inner critic. And if my inner critic speaks up, the more I get to untrain the inner critic's voice. So having awareness really helps me maintain my weight. It really helps you lose weight, helps you do everything. My second point was moving in fun ways at least 5 days per week and walking outside as often as the weather allows. Weather is changing. If you look outside right now, it's 48 degrees and drizzling. I went outside. I slapped a hoodie on, protected my extensions with the hoodie, and I walked up and down my street for 10 minutes. Why? Because I know I feel better each day if I get a little fresh air. It's not because I'm like a diehard exercise enthusiast that will go outside no matter what. It's more of, I just know I feel better each day when I get some fresh air in my lungs or I get to experience outside. Now, if it was pouring down rain, I would not be outside. A little drizzle, I ain't a witch. I ain't going to melt. So I just went on out there. Here's what I'm committed to not doing. Drinking with an excuse. I know for the holidays, it will be, well, it's the holidays. It'll be so much fun. All of our friends are at the bar. Like I will have 1,001 excuses to go and drink and be merry with Chris extra during the holidays. I want to go when I've planned it and I'll truly enjoy it. When I use an excuse, it's only fun in the moment. It's not fun afterward. So I'm very committed to listening and being aware and not drinking from excuses. I will drink from intentionality. And I think a lot of you can use that with your food too. I'm committed to not eating things that I don't truly love. God love all of you, but I swear to God, some of you still send me food for Christmas. I was joking with Chris before this call. I said, well, I got to go downstairs. Time to yell at everybody. And he said, well, they must really love you. Cause he checked our mail and he had like a big wad of like gifts people had sent me.
which I love. I got a Vols sweatshirt today. I was like, hell yeah. Like, this is it's the kind of gift I can get behind. But one of the things that I'm committed to this season is when the vendors and people send food, family members send food to this house, no matter how many times I've said we would not like food gifts. The reason why I don't want food gifts is because I know me. My first thought is it's free. We should eat it. I don't want it to go to waste. Like, for me, it's all about the waste. I don't even use the excuse anymore. I'll hurt their feelings. No fucking body knows if I'm eating their food. Like, I've moved way past that one. But I get in this mindset of like, it's free. And that is my old stories that come up. I'm very aware of them now. And I remind myself, it is not free. You know what it is? Extremely damaging and costly to my self-esteem. Because I'll eat it and then I'll feel bad about it. I'll eat it and I'll eat it thinking it's free, not because I truly enjoy it. And so I put an emotional currency on it to remind myself, nothing is free. Everything has a price tag. Am I willing to pay that emotional price tag? So I'm not going to eat things that I don't truly love. I don't care what anybody sends me. I don't care what my mama makes for Thanksgiving. I don't care all of that. I don't find true joy in it. I'm just not going to eat. Just like yesterday, we were at Chris's parents' house. We went to go visit them. First time since COVID. We hadn't seen them in 2 years. And we were celebrating Logan's birthday. If y'all don't know, my little goblin will be turning 19 tomorrow. He is a Halloween baby. And so we went there for his birthday. She bought 3 kinds of cheesecake because she knew Logan liked cheesecake. But she didn't know which one he would like. So she bought 3. And she's like, do you want one? And, you know, and I looked at it and y'all, I like me some sweets, but I don't love cheesecake. If you know me at all, y'all take a guess in the chat. What is Corinne's all-time favorite dessert? I'll give you ice cream. Blondie. Yeah, everybody's like, Blondie. Because I talk about Blondies all the time. Well, guess what? There wasn't no Blondie cheesecake. So I just told her, I said, you know, I love you, Grandma, but I'm not a huge sweets fan. There's only one sweet in the world I love, and I save it for that. So I didn't have it because I knew I wouldn't truly enjoy it. But it required me. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to tell you, when I was sitting there, and I saw all this cheesecake stuff, the first thing that came into my mind was, I don't want to hurt her feelings. She's trying so hard to make Logan's day special. That was the first thoughts that came into my brain. That's those automatic negative thoughts we have. That's our little old shitties that will always come up, and that's okay. But because I was practicing awareness and I knew like kind of what my velvet rope when it comes to my belly and body is, I knew that I didn't want to eat something to avoid hurting someone's feelings. I didn't, number one, know if I would hurt her feelings. That's like the first thing. I told myself she may be just fine. And she was. But I had that agreement with myself. And so when my old shitty came in, I had my agreement with myself, which gave me some courage in the face of some discomfort to do how I wanted to show up for me. And then the last one is the thing I'm committed to not doing is eating because someone made it or it's free, which we've already covered. All right. So the next block is I will need to choose to feel the following emotions in order to do or not do these actions. So number one, if I'm going to be listening to my brain, I have to be willing to be curious. That's number one. I also have to feel very willing. When I make constraints on myself, like I know these are going to be my golden rules for the holidays. I know these are set with love. I know that I am making rules because they'll help me, not because I'm like being mean to myself. Nothing in my rules is based in shoulds. Nothing is based in self-loathing, disbelief in me. It's all based in what's going to help me know how I want to show up for myself. What's going to be like, there's that book, Bright Line Eating, even though I do not agree with their like methods. But one of the things I love is the concept of What am I going to say to myself in a rule or in a guideline, a loving boundary, whatever you would love to call it? What is going to make it so that the tornado siren goes off when I'm about to do something or I'm thinking something that goes right up against it? I want to know those things. I don't want it sneaking all over me anymore. So I've got to be willing to execute these rules. I need to feel aware. I've got to be used to feeling aware, comfortable with feeling aware. I've got to choose to feel non-judgmental, which is a huge one for y'all. Can you choose to feel non-judgmental of yourself and others this holiday season? Like, they shouldn't send me those gifts. I shouldn't eat things like this. I shouldn't have a goal to gain. I shouldn't be trying to lose weight during the holidays. I shouldn't be maintaining. So I knew that non-judgmental was a big one for me. Open. I had to be very open to listening to myself, accepting, because there's going to be a lot of times in the next 60 days where I'm going to think what I'm doing is not good enough. So like for me, especially when moving in fun ways, as the weather changes, some days I can't stand to be in my own gym. So if I'm going to do something fun, like if I'm just going to go and walk, if I'm going to, you know, if I am going to go into my gym and just not lift heavy, but do a fun little circuit, or just like a lot of times, like I will tell you, there's days when I don't feel like lifting weights, as much weights as I lift. I go in and I'll like plug in some self-development on the TV and I'll watch a 90-minute class and I just slow walk it 2 miles per hour. So I've got to be accepting of me when my brain wants to think like, you should be working out harder. You should be doing more. I also have to be willing to feel appropriate discomfort. That means appropriate discomfort is where you are willing to hear your old shitty thoughts and pivot like a motherfucker, like we taught at camp in October. It's always uncomfortable to hear the old you, to hear the old programming, the automatic negative thinking to come in. That's the appropriate discomfort, hearing that part. And it's also just as appropriately uncomfortable to decide to do something else because you agreed ahead of time that that's what you would do. There will be the rub and the tension because you have two voices, but you ultimately decide which voice you listen to. Go with the one that provides a little bit of discomfort. All right. The things I will think on purpose are, Betsy, get ready to type. I'm giving them some juicy wisdom here. Number one, these are my automatic excuses and I know how to pivot. That's my first big thought. These are my automatic excuses and I know how to pivot. That's what I'm going to use when my old shitties come in about it being free or you'll hurt their feelings or, oh my God, I just got a text from Larry. He's at the bar saying everybody's betting football squares. Where are the crab trees? I'm going to have my automatic negative thinking all that sounds great or all that's amazing. But I know how to pivot my thoughts because I've agreed ahead of time to how I would like to show up for myself. I know how I want to feel about myself. I don't want to feel like someone who gives up. I don't want to feel like someone who takes the easy road. I don't want to feel like someone who like kicks their dreams down the road a couple more days. I don't want to do that. Number two, I don't have to do everything I've always done. That's another big one for me. My brain will think, but you've always done this. You've always worked out this many times a week. You've, whatever it is for a lot of you. When your old shitties come in, just be like, say that comes in like, oh, we should just not even try to lose weight this holiday. We've already fucked up this week, blah, 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 blah. This is when you use the thought, I don't have to do everything I've always done in the past. Just because I quit last year doesn't mean I have to quit this year. Just because I quit yesterday doesn't mean I have to quit today. It's just a thought. Number three, I don't have to do what my brain automatically thinks. Y'all are not dogs. You do not have to follow commands. This is what separates us from the four-legged fur babies. If your brain offers up one command and you know it goes against what you want, you get to decide that that's just automatic thinking, but here's what we're going to do instead. And here's why it's important. And here's why it's loving. And here's why we're not going to bitch and moan about it. Number four, I know what to do even when it feels scary, hard, or different. I think that's a big one for all of you. I know what to do even when it feels scary, even when it feels hard, or even when it feels different. So often y'all will throw up bullshit like, I just don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Every single time y'all know what to do. If you're ever on a, I've never had anybody on a coaching call where I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to make the decision for you. It never happens. So don't tolerate that shit from yourself. It's actually really simple. The only thing that gets in the way, we decide something's hard, or we decide something's like, I don't really know what to do. We live in confusion when we're just scared we can't do it. I would rather you just try and fail than to sit back and be all like, I'm like scared, like I don't know what to do. Don't sit in indecision. It's the worst place in the world to be. Indecision feels like shit because you're still scared it won't work. You're also scared you're not getting off your ass. That's what indecision is all about. If you're in indecision, choose the scary solution. Choose the hard one. Choose the one that you're afraid of. Because almost usually, I would say at the other side of that decision is success. You're going to learn something. You're one step closer to knowing your solution if you don't just stumble upon the solution in that one decision. Next, I don't talk down to myself. So when your bullshit thoughts come in about how you haven't lost enough weight before you go to this family gathering, you're worried about what you're going to look like in the pictures. Your brain's going ham on all the things that's wrong with you. You tell yourself, I do not talk down to myself. That is my holiday gift to me. The supply chain has nothing to do with how I talk to myself. That is a gift you can deliver on time every single day. Next one. I don't give up because my brain has thoughts. So anytime you catch yourself wanting to just kick it down the road, wait to the January 2nd workshop, go dick around on the internet, see what the latest, newest, greatest diets are, all that bullshit. I'm going to be real honest with you. All of you who are out there searching for another solution right now on the Googles, if you ain't using this one, what the fuck makes you think you'll use the next one? How about you get really good? Here's what my challenge to anybody who's listening to this thinking about quitting. Quit when you've exhausted every resource. Quit when you've done 60 days worth of plans, journaled your ass off about how you talk to yourself, actually got in an accountability group and used it. If none of my shit works when you've used it to 100% of your capacity, then you can go try something else. Otherwise, you're taking your mindset that gets in the way of your success with you to the next thing and spending more money. Stop doing that. This urge will pass. Can I just wait a few minutes? That's a big one for me. So often I have the urge to do shit. Drink, eat, whatever. Not work. And I remind myself, this urge will pass. Very often within 10 to 15 minutes, urges not only have gotten less intense in my body, but I've gotten distracted by something naturally, not even trying to distract myself. Here's how your brain works. It's always trying to solve a problem. Always. What most people don't do is give our brains something good to solve. So if it doesn't have, if you're not trying to create a result for yourself, if you're not trying to relax, feel really good, figure out how to like sit around without guilt, all that kind of stuff, then your brain finds something to worry about. It finds something to solve. So it will convince you to eat. So when I tell myself in 10 to 15 minutes, I bet this will be over. All I need to do is like look at the clock. I will check back in. 9 times out of 10, I don't even have to check back in because my brain's gone to work on filling the void with something else. It's like, well, let's go check this out. Let's go do this. Let's take that nap. Well, I can't tell you how many days of the week where in the middle of the afternoon, I start like at usually anywhere between 4 and 5 a.m. By about 2, my little gas tank is about empty. And often 2 o'clock is when like I consider snacks. And often I'll tell myself, look, this urge will pass. You're not really, because I usually eat lunch around noon. I know I ain't hungry. I'm just tired. And I don't want to take a break because I'm like, think Chris is up there working. Like I start comparing myself to everybody. And I just tell myself like, look, in 10 or 15 minutes, you won't want to eat. So let's just sit down for a few minutes and let's do it without guilt. 9 times out of 10, I lay on the couch for 20 minutes and grab a little nap. And I wake up. I notice I'm no longer hungry. I grab me some water and I'm ready to go and do the next thing. All I really needed was the space and the compassion to take a break and not beat myself up over it. But when I'm eating, guess what I'm not doing? Not learning how to change my inner critic. I'm just like, I'm getting the break, but I'm not learning anything from it. And then the last one, sometimes I think I'm not doing enough. And I know that's just my old thinking. That's a big one for me. I tend to always like thinking I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. And I've really learned that that is just an automatic pattern in my brain. So whenever I'm doing anything different than I normally would, that's almost always going to be my first thought. And I'm now just reminding myself that is not a true thought anymore. I have heard it 1 million times. I have worked on it in my journal. I have been coached on it. I have wrote down all the reasons why I am enough. Like I do believe I am enough. And I do believe I work very hard. And I do believe all those things. My brain has not caught up to the new story yet. And that's okay. So now my job is to quit fondling the old thought, to quit writing about it and doing all the things and to teach my brain old thinking. We don't need that one anymore. We're fine. That's it. All right. So on the page 14, here's how I will practice these thoughts ahead of time. My first one is I'm going to pick a thought that I just gave y'all, and I'm going to write it down in my planner each day. So I'm going to think through like Fridays are, I will tell, well, so Fridays are typically date night. Usually on Thursday is when we're getting the text from Larry because there's Thursday night football. He always wants to make sure we got our squares. Larry likes us to come down, hang out with all the people. Chris and I are pretty social. We like doing it too, but we also like our date nights to be on Fridays because I don't work most Saturdays. So if I'm not going to be my peak best, I would much rather be on a Saturday than on a Friday when I'm working. So I pick a thought from this page. Each day, there's going to be a thought that's probably going to, I'm going to need more than others. I write it down in my planner. Because if I write it, I've taught my brain, we mean business. I've taught my brain, this is important. Most of the time, what you write, your brain puts a lot more emphasis on the importance of it. It thinks it's real, all kinds of stuff. The other way I'm going to practice, I'm going to pick a thought and I'm going to journal on why the thought is true or helpful. So some of the thoughts that you may like, I love the sound of it. That makes sense. But I know my brain's going to pick a bitch fit about it. Like it could argue why not to use that thought. Those are the ones I want to journal on. Why this particular thought is true. What makes it true. What's going to make it helpful. What makes it the thought that I want to counter every time the old one comes in. So I want to get to know that thinking. Like I would want to get to know if I was going to start dating someone, I'd want to take them out on a date and I'd want to talk to them. And I'd want to know, are we a good fit or not? You want to date your thoughts too. You need to get to know them. You need to vet them. Then the last one is tell my accountability partner, who is Jane, a thought that I'm going to use today. And I'm going to talk about why it's true and why it's helpful. So it's not just the writing, but it's also the talking about it. Telling someone else. You never know when your thought's going to help someone else or when they can offer you some insight. Sometimes you'll talk through your thoughts and they'll catch something that they are like, I want you to know you said this. It's so good. Or I want you to know you're thinking this. You might want to look into this thought too. Could be a whammy. And then last is list all the no-BS tools you'll make to make life easier. All right. I just went through a bunch of them. Number one, accountability partner shares. I have an accountability partner. I think that's one of the most valuable things that we offer you in no-BS is the ability to find like-minded women studying no-BS, doing the things. If you do not have an accountability partner or group, I suggest you get one. We will place you. You can just go to the website and sign up and we will place you. If your group hasn't worked out, if your third group hasn't worked out, this is not the time to say accountability groups don't work. It's the time to say, I haven't found mine yet. There are so many accountability groups inside of no-BS that work amazingly. We know they work. Just because you haven't found yours yet doesn't mean the groups don't work. So don't allow yourself to fall into some kind of bullshit thinking like, I'm not good enough or these things don't work. That's crap. That is one perspective. And we have got hundreds of groups that work so well to prove your shit wrong. The next thing is a daily plan and assessment. So if you don't have a planner, get you one. They're on the website. You can order it or print it. I suggest you find calls in the video replays under a topic that you know you need to work on through the holidays. I talked about in the beginning. Get laser focused on something that will be helpful for you during the holidays. We have calls on traveling. We have calls on people pleasing. We have calls on everything. Start listening to those like it's your job. You get to use your phone. There is never a time in our life where listening to what you need to listen to is more convenient than it is now. I don't want to hear no bullshit that you ain't got time. Before this call, I was brushing my teeth and fixing my hair, catching up on self-development. I know all of you brush your teeth every day. You probably take a dump most days of the week. Plug some shit in if you need to. We got time. You have to quit thinking you don't. Because when you think you don't have time, you're saying, and I don't have time for my dreams and goals. That is not true. I will make time. I will find time. I'll create time. I will find the micro moments of my life where I can do things for myself. Be that determined. Don't be so determined to tell the whole world how busy you are. Stop that determination train. Schedule my no-BS time instead of hoping to make time. Get it on a calendar. Know when you're showing up for yourself. Post your wins in the Facebook group so that you reinforce what's working and you reinforce on how you find your own wins, how you find your own successes. So you can show other women that it's possible to celebrate the small things, celebrate the big things, that we're about celebrating and finding what's working. We are not a Facebook group that sits around and whines all the time. Now, I want you to use it if you need help. But I want you to literally using it because you've exhausted your own thinking and now you want to crowdsource the thinking of the group. But if you're going to come in and something's not working, please tell us one thing that is working for you in your life. Show us and yourself, you know how to not just be in the toilet about yourself. Use Ask Coaches when you have something you need to work through. We have that resource there for you. If you go to the nobiaswomen.com website, Ask Coaches is a great place to take things you're working on and get coaches helping you work through stuff. And then last is hire a coach. If you need help with the holidays, this is why we have that service. We do not offer this to the mainstream people. Y'all are the only people that get the offering of a private coach. And not everybody needs one. But I went through here and I was like, if you've got something really hard you're working on through this holidays, like for some of you, this is the first holiday without some of your loved ones. Grief is a big one that we get a lot of people signing up for. We get a lot of people who sign up for overspending. For the holidays, they tend to try to buy people's love and acceptance. And they spend 60 days scrambling, spending money they don't have, worrying, trying to find the perfect gift, setting it all up so that on Christmas Day, when people open gifts and thinking about what the reaction is going to be, and when the reaction doesn't hit exactly like it's crafted in their mind, then they go to big bunch of stories around the people and what all that means about how much they love them and underappreciate them. And then they go on the inside. See, no one really loves me. See, I didn't do enough. See, I'm not good enough. If that's you, stop spending money on bullshit gifts for people and invest in getting out of your own inner critic toilet. I don't know why I use the word toilet so much, but it always sounds like it's going to be great. Some of you need to heal relationships. We're going to do that at camp next year, but you might not want to wait that long to figure out how to have a better relationship with yourself or someone you love. Or your binge and secret eating. This time of year brings out a lot of binge and secret eating. You just may need help through the holidays to get through it. So those are the tools and resources. So if you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand and let's see if anybody needs help or has a question about the worksheet. If you raise your hand, you're going to need to raise your little, there you go, Deidre. If you go to reactions, you can click on raise hand. That's how you raise it. If you raise it like this, I might not see you. Should have said that. All right, Deidre, you got to unmute yourself and we'll get going. Can you unmute yourself?
There you go.
All right.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What do you need help with?
Chocolate. Scared stiff at the holidays. It frightens me because I'm so scared of it.
Okay. Why is that a problem?
I eat so much of it. It's just my go-to food. And I just can't seem to control it lately. I'm with you nearly 2 months on the 12th of November. And I haven't really lost much weight, but I've done a lot of work. I've done an OBS course. I'm in the middle of Burgess. I'm doing handling the holidays. I'm learning a lot. I'm planning every day. I'm not getting anywhere.
That's not true. Here's the first thought. I'm not getting anywhere.
I know.
One of the things that you'll need to do for the holidays is get aware of your thoughts that are creating your fear.
Yeah.
So
this fear is with me so long.
Say what?
This fear has been with me for so long. I just need to change it.
Well, it's probably, this is the thing. Can you go through the holidays aware of when you're generating your fear and calm yourself down?
Yeah.
That's probably your next step.
Panicking even now talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And why? Because what do you make this fear mean? It's going to prevent
weight gain.
That's the worst. But listen, Deirdre, that's the worst that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's weight gain. And then how you talk to yourself about it.
Yeah. I know.
You might as well just go all in on doing what you can for the holidays, like finding when you're having fearful thoughts and calming yourself down.
Fearful thoughts, yeah. Because that's what they are. They're actually fearful thoughts. And I know I've listened to so much of stop attaching the feeling to the thought, and I'm slowly getting there. But I just feel the last week, I'm getting nowhere. And but yeah, that, I have my planner.
But tell me why I'm getting nowhere is not true. Verbalize
because
it.
Because I'm here.
Well, yeah, you are the first one to raise your hand.
Yeah.
Even though you were scared and starting to feel panicky.
Yeah.
I wouldn't exactly call that coaches. Somebody who's getting nowhere.
I know. Do you know what, Corinne? It's I'm 56 now and I've been on the diet trail since I was 15.
Okay.
And I've tried 3, 4, 5, 6 times. I've lost weight through restriction. And even because I didn't lose much weight since I started, I was actually thinking today, would I start counting calories again? And then I went, no, I won't. I have to stick with it.
Okay. So that doesn't sound like this is one of the things you have to quit saying. I'm getting nowhere. That is your brain just not wanting to keep going. Your brain is probably afraid of two things. I'm afraid I'm going to gain weight. I'm also afraid of trying.
Yeah.
Because if I try and I don't succeed, then I'm going to beat myself up for that. So you create what you call the no-win situation.
Yeah.
When I was talking earlier about living in the middle, that's exactly where you're living.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. And it's just like, why not just tell yourself, here's the next thing I need to learn how to do. Stop beating myself up if I don't do it right.
Yeah.
Then, because this is the thing for all of you. If you beat yourself up when it doesn't go right, your brain wants you to quit trying everything, even what will work, even what will come easy to you. It's so afraid of your mental beatdown because that's the only reason why we don't try. The only reason why we don't try is because of what we'll say to ourselves. I want you to tell me, Deirdre, you have all this fear, right?
Yeah.
Literally, is your life in peril? Imminent danger?
No.
Exactly. This is where we spend our time in what we call overused fear. It's not real fear. It's imagined fear. It's the story I create around failure. It's the story I tell myself about me. It's the thoughts I have about what it means if it doesn't work. If the worst that can happen is that I go all in and I gain some weight, it's like, well, what do you think is going to happen if you just sit on your ass and do nothing?
Yeah.
So you might as well go all in learning some stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I've no intention of going anywhere because I want to fix me. I need to fix me. I'm not doing it for another 30, 40 years. I don't want food to be my main focus in life. And that's what it is when you're restricting yourself.
Okay.
I just want it to be natural.
What you just told me is what you need to say more often than I'm getting nowhere. I've done all these diets. That one part. So I want you to rewatch this one little part. I want you to watch where you described. You talked about the same thing, which is, am I going to do this or not?
Yeah.
And one way you talked about it is very fearful. You went to your past, all your failures. What's wrong with you? Do you know that I've been doing all this work, Corinne, and I'm just I've gotten nowhere? You've talked about it in a very scary way. This is why you're afraid of that story. Then you came through and you're like, here's what I'm not doing. Here's what blah, blah, blah. And you were very convicted.
Yeah.
That's the side we've got to tell because it's not as fearful. It's more about, here's what I don't tolerate. It's it's a grounded, who I want to be kind of conversation. That's the one that you've got to have a little bit more often and on purpose.
I will. Okay.
All right. Well, that's a good question. Thank you. Tracy?
Good morning.
Hey.
One of the things that I wrote down that I would like to do is, unlike you, Corinne, you mainly like blondies. I like all the things, all the sweet things. I love it. And so one of the things I'm working on is not eating sweets every day. But how do I not make that a diet mentality?
One, you quit talking about it. I love all the things. I love all the sweets. That's not helpful.
Okay.
Like, how would you like to think about sweets and stuff?
I would like to think of them as something that I eat occasionally. Like my future self would eat them occasionally, not every day.
Yeah. So does your future, let me ask you this. This is so, I love that you brought the future. You know how me, I love me some future self talk. So let me ask you this. There's this version of you. She's lost her weight. She's like thinking about sweets. Is she walking around telling everybody like, so how much weight do you want to lose, Tracy?
About 80 pounds.
Okay. The 80 pounds thinner version of you. Does she come on a coaching call and be like, so Corinne, I'm going to plan some sweets. Let me just tell you, I love all the sweets. I really love them. They're blah, 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 blah. Or is she like, you know, I like sweets, especially when I plan them and enjoy them. Like, I have a great relationship with sweets because I know what to do with them. Like, how does she talk about them?
Well, I think just what you said, I think I like to think about the fact that my future self, who's lost 80 pounds, if she wants a cookie, she has a cookie and she stops.
Yeah.
She doesn't
that
have
means the version cookies. Of you today can't talk about sweets like an obsession.
Okay.
You have to break the obsessive talk about it. Because like when you described it, it was like the way I described Shamar Moore. I mean, we are now like, so when I was a kid, I used to watch him on Young and the Restless. We just finished 15 seasons of Criminal Minds, and now we're watching SWAT because Shamar Moore is in it. But I talk about him like, you know, he can come to my house whenever. I love Shamar Moore. I will always love Shamar Moore. But that's what I want you to think about is like, I want you to think about, all right, in order for me to be the version who easily stops at cookies, I can't describe myself anymore as someone who loves them and wants them every day. I need to start describing myself as someone who enjoys sweets when they're planned and is figuring out how to eat them a few times a week versus every day. So you have to talk about it just differently. And you have to notice when you're, a lot of us will say things like, I love sweets. I have them every day. We have to really watch when we are saying that stuff because it will feel true to us. But let me ask you this. This is always the litmus test for thoughts. When you say the words, I love sweets, how does that feel?
It feels like I'm crazy. Like that's not a reasonable thing for a person to say.
And it's not that it's an unreasonable thing to say. It's an unhelpful way to describe sweets when you want to lose weight. We want to describe sweets in a way that allows us to enjoy them, to have a good relationship with them, to not feel threatened by them, afraid of them. We have to watch our language around them. Because you ask like, well, so how do I eat less of them and not feel restricted? Well, that just comes in how you talk about them. So if you go from, I love sweets and I need one every day to I only get to have them this many days a week, that's going to feel restricted. But if you start unlearning the version of you that's kind of obsessed with them or feeling like they're an out of control part of your life, and you start talking about them like you're learning to control it, that it's doable and that this is the relationship you want with them, it changes everything.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. That's a good question.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all are killing me talking about my cougar moment here. I am a cougar. Y'all should see me in Vegas. All right, Danielle.
Good morning. Well, good morning here.
It's a lie. I do like sweets. I love me some eye candy. I got a big sweet tooth on that. Danielle.
So I think mine is actually a really good follow-up to Tracy's because I'm a little bit further along and I don't talk about these foods like I love them. But when I talk about in order to achieve my result, there are certain foods that I plan daily that I do still overeat. And I'm wondering if it almost feels a little bit diet mentality by putting parameters around these foods, but I know that it's overeating of these specific foods that is stalling or that is causing me not to attain my goals every week.
Well, so parameters around food only feels like diet. So think about diet mentality. Diet mentality is a feeling that you have. It's like generated by thought. So like I put parameters around things. I don't feel like diet mentality. Like when I listed mine, I'm listing my stuff because like, I just want things easier on myself. I know how to make things easier on myself. When I do or do not do these things, like it's not just like in the moment, my decisions are a little more clear. Doesn't make them easy to make, but it makes it more clear. But long term, my life is just a lot simpler. So I feel the ease of it. I'm willing to feel some discomfort in the moment when my brain is like, it's bullshit that you're not going when Larry calls. Like, yeah, like in that moment, I remind myself, but we said we are not going to drink from excuses. And I think you're making an excuse right now. So we're totally, not going to go.
Yeah, because when I do my discovery worksheets regarding these foods, that's exactly what I do. Like I justify, well, it's on your plan. It's like every discovery worksheet that I do attach to these foods.
Being on your plan is only one part of the basic. Stopping it enough is the next part. So you have to remind yourself like, oh yeah, it is on plan, but overeating isn't on the plan. I didn't plan the overeat.
Okay.
That's the part to work on.
Okay.
And it won't feel like diet mentality the more you tell yourself, this is part of it. I created this guideline, this boundary, this loving rule, whatever you want to call it, like whatever you're going to do around these foods in order to stop overeating them. You have to set it from love. If you set it from love, that's not diet mentality.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want? What, tell me one that you want to set.
Well, there it's peanut butter.
Okay.
For sure.
What about peanut butter? What's going to be, what are you wanting to do around peanut butter?
So I have, I have it for a snack. I have a banana and peanut butter in the afternoon. And I usually take the peanut butter straight out of the jar and put it on my banana. But if I take it out and put it on my plate and scoop it up from there, obviously I'll eat less of it. Right. So that's the kind of stuff.
How is it not diet mentality to say from now on, I will only eat my peanut butter banana snack if it's on a plate? We don't do it from the jar anymore.
Yeah, totally. It's not. Yeah, no, that's. Yeah.
But tell me why it's not diet mentality.
It's not diet mentality because I'm not, I'm not restricting myself. When I serve myself, I will serve myself whatever I feel is appropriate at the time for the hunger that I'm experiencing.
Yeah. So when you are having your peanut butter moment, here's what will happen. The jar is here, the plate is here, and the banana is here, and the knife or the spoon, whichever one you use. And your brain is going to be like, fuck that plate. And then your brain's going to say, and when you try to put it on the plate, your brain's going to be like, we don't get to eat it the way we want to. It's going to throw up some kind of restrictive thought in the moment. That is a thought error. Just because in the moment it feels restricting doesn't mean it is. You're like Danielle, the version of her who's talking about it with her own brain to Corinne, already said it's not. And here's the reasons. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, when I look at it, it's ridiculous. Just don't expect your brain not to act ridiculous in the moment. It might. That's where in the moment that you have to say, like, all right, it isn't restrictive. I may feel like it is. My brain might be throwing a hissy fit, but here's what I know. I agreed that it is wonderful that I get to eat peanut butter and a banana. Sometimes I just think I don't get enough if I put it on the plate, and that's okay. One day, this will feel like the new habit.
Yeah.
You have to have that conversation, because I think that's where a lot of you kind of get screwed up. Is like, here, we can look at, like, we're looking at it from an upper level view, and we know it's not restrictive, and like, we can argue with it, but in the moment, your brain is like, no, it's so much more fun eating out of the jar. What the fuck? And that's where you have to like have that conversation again. But this is why it's important. I want all of you to think about this. And Daniel, I'm really glad you brought up. This is why it's important that you guys journal on these bullshit things. This is why you do discovery worksheets and stuff, because you have to be able to look at the nonsense that goes on and then talk about it in a sensible way on paper. If you ever want your brain to act sensibly in the moment, it's got to be sensible on a piece of paper first.
Like, I'm just going to give you another...
Go ahead.
I've been working on this for a bit, and another shady, stupid thought that happens in the moment yesterday.
We're not going to call it shady, stupid shit. That's judgy.
No, the stupid thought that came in that wanted to throw shade on my plan of putting it on a plate was, well, you don't want to dirty an extra dish. How stupid is that?
Like, this is what you got to do. You cannot afford to say how stupid is that thought. This is a nuance, but I just want to cover it. If y'all get upset or throw shade at your automatic thinking, you'll be less likely to want to look at it. Because let me ask you this. When you think, how stupid is that? That's a stupid thought. How do you feel?
Stupid.
Right. So why would you, like think about your brain and it needing to be motivated. How motivated is it going to be to look at your thinking if it's going to find things that you deem are stupid for you to think? It just lowers the motivation on that side. And it's not like, and a lot of us do it. I do it to myself all the time. Those subtle judgments is what stands in the way of us doing our thought work. So the good news is that you found a thought, an old shitty of like, oh yeah. And then the next thing my brain is going to say is that you've dirtied a plate. And then you can just say like, yeah, and I bet I can wash it in 30 seconds. I might even get a couple of steps in on the way. Look at me. All right. Good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let me tell you what we're going to do now. We are going to turn it over to the fabulous Coach Betsy. Anybody that would like to go to breakout rooms and work on your holiday goals worksheets together, talk about them, finish filling them out and stuff, now will be your time to get into some groups. But I'm going to give it to her and turn the meeting over. And she'll explain everything. And then I guess I will see y'all tomorrow for coaching. I know I'm coaching. Let's see, what is tomorrow? Sunday? Queens Club. You're getting a call at 11:30. So I'll be coaching all of the Queens Club members. Those are people who've lost over 25 pounds. And then at 1 o'clock will be our general weight loss coaching. So I will see all y'all tomorrow too. Take it away, Betsy.
Thank you.